Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I got to tell you, I am wiped out. I am smoked. I mean, I'll tell you what, I had a beautiful, beautiful weekend. And I have to relate it all to living the lifestyle. You see, everything that occurred this weekend was a direct result of our investment into real estate. See, my daughter and I, my daughter's about 20, well, not about, she is, and her boyfriend, who's a little bit older, we decided to go camping and not, you know, get the RV and go live in the RV. That's like glamping. We did actual camping where we actually like drove to a site. Now, we didn't hike in or anything, so we did car camping. But we took our kayaks with us. We took our big camp stove with us. We took all the things we needed for a great weekend. We took our kayaks. My daughter took her hammock because she likes to sleep in a hammock. And I'll tell you what, we went to a place called Canyon Lake. It's in the hill country of Texas. And we stayed at a military base there, Joint Base San Antonio. It's available to retirees like me. And what they've done is they really have set up the equivalent of a world-class destination for military personnel and retirees and I believe some form of the civilian sector that supports the military. And, man, was it nice. Not only was the weather nice, the water was nice. The water was glassy in the morning, and then the wind would slightly pick up a little bit towards mid-morning, and then we just had this nice, cool, comfortable breeze that would cascade across us for the balance of the day, you know, and it was one of those nice, comfortable breezes. I'm talking about, you know, in the 5 to 10 mile per hour range. I'm not talking about, you know, that stuff that blows your canopy down the beach, although we did have a couple canopies that went down the beach. We saw that happen, but that wasn't our canopy. We weren't affected. And the people that were affected, hey, we just invited them to come hang out in our canopy. We got shade. Enjoy it. But I'll tell you what, it really boiled down to this. It really boiled down to a sense of living the lifestyle. You see, we took off Friday after I was done with my radio show, and we had packed everything up the day before, so we were ready to go. We drive out to the lake. It's a beautiful drive out there. We get to the lake, and you know, everything is nice. And because they're doing the COVID-19 reopening thing, all of the campsites were not available for use. They only opened up like 25% of the park. And I'll tell you what, we had literally nobody on top of us. And it was nice. It was so nice. I mean, I'll tell you what, I came home last night and I was physically exhausted. I mean, we had paddled all over that lake in our kayaks. We used the kayaks as just like, you know, resting pods for jumping in the water and you know, something to come back to and hold on to. We used our life jackets as personal flotation devices just to sit and float in the water and just enjoy the coolness of the water against the nice warm Texas sun. And man, I know I am going on and on and on about this, but the key thing I want you to take away is this. Real estate created the ability for me to live the lifestyle. Now, could I have gone and just, you know, lived the lifestyle, you know, when I was working for the city of San Antonio? Sure, I could have. I absolutely could have. But here would have been the trade-offs. One, I probably wouldn't have gotten going until late Friday night because I would have had to work the whole day and I wouldn't have gotten off work till 4:30 or 5. And then I'd have that commute home, you know, get my little road rage going. And then because it's Friday, there's more traffic on the road. So maybe I'd get home by 6 and then I'd have to, you know, eat something pretty quick and get changed. And of course we were smart enough to load the kayaks the day before and all of our camping gear. So that none of that would have changed. But we wouldn't have gotten on the road probably until about 7 at night, meaning we would have pulled into the campsite facility facility probably around 8 and would have gotten to the campsite itself probably around 8:30, which is right around dusk. And for those of you that know that setting up campsites and at night is not a lot of fun, it wouldn't have been a lot of fun. Conversely, we were like one of the first ones to show up to the lake. Therefore, we got our pick of spots. And I'll tell you what, my daughter picked out a wonderful spot. We were slightly elevated above the waterway. I could lay down in my tent at night. I could look to my left. I could enjoy the waterway. I could enjoy the nice calm water. I could enjoy the campfire lights flickering off that water from the other side of the lagoon that we were on. Man, it was cool. I know. And you're thinking to yourself, dude, get on to it. This is a real estate investing program. Why aren't you talking about real estate? Well, I am talking about real estate. I'm talking about the benefits that real estate created for me. And more so, you know, we took off yesterday. I don't know. It was probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, and we came back and we got everything put away. And my wife was throwing a little dinner party for my son and a couple of his friends. So we like came home to this nice dinner party after unloading everything, you know, taking a shower. And I'll tell you what. It was all wonderful. It was all great. And you know what? I didn't wake up Monday morning with a load of dread like, oh my God, I've got to go to the office now. No, I got up this morning. I drank a couple cups of coffee. I tell you, I was a little slow moving, but it was a wonderful feeling. It was that, you know, there's a level of exhaustion that exists when you've had a wonderful time and, you know, you're just kind of recovering from it versus that level of exhaustion you get when you've had a good time and then you know you've got to get up and go to the work, you know, first thing in the morning and go deal with the stress. It almost makes the stress go away. You know, not having the stress is what I'm trying to get at is wonderful. But when you have the stress and we have to go back to work with the stress, I think that's counterproductive. I think it kind of has a negative impact on what you're doing. All right, so I'm going to stop talking about camping. And what we're going to talk about today is whether or not all real estate is created equal. I'll tell you, the real estate I was on this weekend, wow, it gets a thumbs up. And we'll be back right after this.
Dale Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Dale, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. You know, during the break, I was just reminiscing about my time this weekend, and I know you don't want to hear any more about that. I get that. But my concept is this. Real estate investing created the ability for me to just say, screw it, and I'm going to go camping with my daughter and her boyfriend. Didn't worry about money, didn't worry about anything other than getting there, having a great time while we were there, and then getting back home. You know, that's how we choose to live our lifestyle. We choose to go out and do things that we would normally not always do. As a matter of fact, while we were out there at the lake, we found out we could rent some boats. So we were making a plan to go back maybe this coming weekend or the weekend after and, you know, spend a day renting a boat and taking the water from a different perspective. And I guess that leads me up to my topic today. You see, what I want to talk about is the fact that all real estate is not created equal. It's not. There are different types of real estate out there. I mean, I was on real estate over the weekend that is government owned, government controlled. Can I do anything with that real estate? No, not really, because the government's not giving me an opportunity to do anything with it. They're not operating ground leases for people like me. They're not selling parcels off or anything like that. So at the end of the day, that's a type of real estate that I don't have control over, nor do I really want control over it. I'm just glad that the government is providing that real estate for me in the form of a beautiful lake that is both private and public and really a neat thing. But here's some of the things that I wanted to cover with you. There's some articles that came out over the last week that really, in my mind, helps to make my point that not all real estate is created equal. Let's just get into the first one, and I think you'll get the premise of my argument here. This is an article from CNBC titled "The Biggest U.S. Mall Owner, Simon Properties, Sues Gap Over Skipped Rent Payments." It says the biggest mall owner in the country, Simon Property Group, is suing one of the biggest tenants, Gap, saying it failed to pay more than $65.9 million in rent and other charges due during the coronavirus pandemic. The battle in Delaware State Court highlights the mounting tension between retail landlords and their tenants, many of which have stopped paying rent after the crisis forced them to shut stores. That's an amazing thing. You see, that's going on in the retail sector of real estate. There is that sector out there where, you know, you can invest into real estate that may or may not have the underlying land as a part of it, but definitely has improvements made upon that property, in which case you're turning around and you are leasing that property out to a commercial tenant, not somebody that wants to live there, but somebody that wants to operate some type of business there. And when things like the coronavirus hit, and we start shutting things down, and there's no income streams coming in to help support an organization like Gap to pay their rent, well, then they don't pay rent, and they wind up getting sued by the biggest mall owner, basically the, what are these guys? Yeah, they're the biggest mall owner in the country. And, you know, it's not driving Simon Property Group's bottom line, because they have space out there that is leased, but it's leased to tenants that aren't in an ability to pay or don't want to pay. I'm not sure what their underlining thing is. Now, conversely, let me kind of compare that to rental income producing real estate. And there's really two types of it. There's the single family market, which includes duplexes, triplexes, and fourplexes. And then there's the commercial aspect of it. Those properties that are five units and above, you know, everything up to 600, 800 unit apartment communities. I think we actually have a Lifestyles Unlimited member that owns an apartment community that's in the several thousands. So, you know, it starts at five. It can go to whatever you can handle. Now, we didn't experience that type of relationship with our tenants in the residential income producing side. You see, people need a place to live. So they're going to pay for their rent because they need a place to live. Now, did we have people in the residential side that fell upon hard times? Yes, we did. I'm not trying to make light of it. And I'll tell you what, people that fall on hard times fall on hard times. It's just the way it is. But I will tell you that our rent collections have been much more favorable than the rent collections in the retail sector. It's one of the reasons that I say not all real estate is created equal, because coronavirus showed us that people don't necessarily need a place to work or to shop or to dine or to stay at. But, you know, what we did learn is that they needed a place to live. And, you know, that place to live was basically their refuge. That's where they went to avoid all the bad things about coronavirus. You know, it was home sweet home, and people paid, and they paid on time for the most part. There were some people that didn't pay on time, and there were some people that needed some additional assistance. And I'll tell you what, Lifestyles Unlimited members stepped up to the plate and did those sorts of things. They actually helped organize support places or support entities, I guess I should call them, where monies could be deposited for people to use that were on hard times so that they could pay their rent. Yeah, that kind of stuff went on. It's actually pretty cool stuff. Let me get to another article here, and this is from the Washington Post, and it's titled "The Next Big Problem for the Economy: Businesses Can't Pay." You got it. their rent. Overall, Datex found, Datex, I guess, is a researcher that they're quoting, found that 58.6% of retail rents were paid in May. Office and warehouse tenants are still paying for rent now in June, and there remains concern about whether tenants will renew leases as working from home gains in popularity. See, there's a lot of businesses out there that are realizing we should have done this work at home thing a long time ago. It saves an incredible amount of money in overhead. And yeah, we may, you know, wind up giving our employees a stipend or some additional wage to assist them with, you know, the cost of working from home. But when you think about it, when you think about the large amount of office space that doesn't have to be rented, the vast amount of utilities that don't need to be paid, it's definitely eye-opening for, you know, that sector of real estate. And, you know, interestingly enough, only 58.6% of retail rents were paid in the month of May. That's the third month? Well, technically the second full month we were into the coronavirus. That's not good. Now, I will tell you, residential income producing rents returned a much higher percentage than that. I mean, even the worst notations that I saw said that the rents were in the 80s. And what we've experienced in Lifestyles Unlimited is the rent collections are actually closer to the 90s and up into the 90s. Because we treated people correctly, we treated them fairly, we gave them a great place to live, and live they did. They lived in our wonderful properties, either single-family properties or apartment communities. See, our tenants have figured it out, and we have figured it out too. It is a win-win, synergistic approach to real estate. And I'll tell you what, it beats all the other sectors. We'll be back after this.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. On today's show, we're asking the question, is all real estate created equal? And my answer to that is no. Absolutely not. Not all real estate is created equal. As a matter of fact, there are many different kinds of real estate that you can get involved with. You can get involved with single family residential income producing real estate. You can get involved with multifamily residential income producing real estate. You can get involved with retail strip centers. You can get involved with industrial centers. You can get involved with warehousing. You can get involved with senior housing. You can get involved with shopping centers. You can get involved with student housing. You can get involved with, oh my goodness, I'm going to stop right there because it's exhausting me for to tell you all the different places that you can invest your money. And I'll tell you what, it can be a daunting decision to figure out how you're going to go about investing. Now, let me just share with you another article that I read. This came from the Wall Street Journal, and it's entitled, Everything is Gone. Looting strikes a second blow to reeling businesses in minority neighborhoods. It says small businesses, especially minority-owned ones, typically have little savings and very often don't have multiple locations to help blunt the ravages of pandemic and the looting. 46% of black-owned businesses were profitable at the end of 2017 compared with 55% of white-owned firms, according to a report released in 2019 by the Regional Federal Reserve Bank. You know what that means? It doesn't matter what color you are. It means that there is about a 35 to 55% chance, actually 45 to 55% chance that if you are invested in retail real estate, that your tenant doesn't have profits. In other words, they don't have the savings, they don't have the profits, even without the pandemic, even without the looting going on, to make it to the end of the month. They have to sell their goods or services to get to the end of the month so that they can actually make a rent payment to you. And you have to sit back and wonder if they're struggling that much, at which point does the rent payment become a casualty in this whole thing? Now, you have to think about that because it's that rent payment that drives everything that we do in real estate. It's that rent payment that comes in that allows us to pay the mortgage on the property. That's the principal and the interest. That's if you have a mortgage on the property. We have mortgages on the property because when you correctly leverage the property, you get the best returns on your money. So that's why we do it. You know, another thing that that rent payment covers, it covers the taxes. It covers the insurance on that property. In some cases, it covers the maintenance on that property, depending on how you're structured, whether you're in a triple net lease or you're just going to go ahead and take care of those maintenance expenses yourself. And then, of course, there's other expenses that could come up. Little repair things here, fees or licensing there, which have an ability to impact that rent. So you have to ask yourself, if you're a retail guy or gal, and you know, you own a property in an area which is being affected by coronavirus or affected by, you know, anarchists or affected by looters or affected by just, in my opinion, lawless people that the government won't do anything about, you're at risk. You're at huge risk. And I'll tell you what, people don't necessarily need to have that place to work. They can actually implode. They can actually shut down and just say, that's it, I'm done. I can't take it anymore. I'm filing bankruptcy. And where does that leave you? Potentially, it leaves you with a looted retail site that hopefully you had the right insurance on. Because if you didn't have the right insurance on it, you're in trouble. Well, let me get back to some of these other articles because I think they're interesting and they support the argument that I'm making today. This is from Commercial Observer, and the headline is this: Reading the Tea Leaves on Forbearance. Now, forbearance is basically a system that allows a note holder to have a grace period, if you will. But there's not all forbearance is created the same way. And, you know, a lot of them have quick recovery clauses, meaning, okay, we might let you slide for 3 months and not pay the rent. But in that fourth month, we kind of expect you to you know, pick everything back up, to include those 3 months rent that you didn't pay. Maybe we'll stack those on as percentages over the next 6 or 8 or 10 or 12 months, or maybe we'll just have you pay them all in one lump sum. Forbearance can be a tricky little thing. And the article goes on to say this. It says, it is likely too early to tell the recovery from the coronavirus crisis will play out, and there's no single solution to the challenges borrowers and lenders are facing. Large tenant bankruptcies have begun, and there is a growing chorus around the fact that certain shuttered businesses may never reopen. The speed of change is unlikely anything we've ever seen, and there are too many variables to make decisions in bulk. Well, that kind of ties in with the comments I made about the last article. You know, if you have a tenant and they declare bankruptcy, where do you sit in that bankruptcy line? I don't know. You should know. I mean, you invested in that type of real estate. I don't invest in that kind of real estate. In my opinion, I think it's too risky. I think that, you know, retail is a great thing. I mean, I use retail stores and things like that. But during the pandemic, what was I doing? I was shopping online or I was using my local grocery store. I wasn't going anywhere else. I wasn't buying anything from anywhere else. And that was creating the situation where a lot of these vendors, a lot of these owners of businesses are in a situation where they have to declare that bankruptcy because there's no income coming in. There's nothing there to support the operation of that business. And because that operation of that business is severely affected, they're not able to make those rent payments either. So where do you stand if you are invested in retail? I'll tell you what, it's a difficult time. Here's one from Eater.com. And this one, I think, is a long time coming. New York City finally unveils a more ambitious outdoor dining plan. It says restaurants will soon be able to use sidewalks and parking spaces for outdoor dining, a development that cash-strapped restaurants have been lobbying for as the COVID-19 crisis keeps their dining rooms shuttered. Unlike past sidewalk cafe permitting, restaurants will not need to receive approval from local community boards for these new outdoor dining spaces, a move aiming to offer outdoor dining as soon as possible. You know, I've got my thoughts about all this outdoor dining, and I'll tell you what, I'm just wondering how many restaurants have survived this thing. I mean, there are a lot of well-established restaurants that I have seen on the morning news that are struggling. They've been in business for 20, 30 or more years. And then all of a sudden you get to this thing called a pandemic and they are told you are no longer essential. You are no longer a viable part of our economy. And they're told to shut down, and they're told to shut down for legitimate medical reasons. But we never really sat down to figure out how can we maybe keep some of these locations awake and open. And whereas there are parts of the country that are returning to dine in, sit down dining, and I know this because I've gone to these places over the last couple of weeks, you've got a place like New York that is just starting to dig out. Now, granted, New York was a hotspot, I will give you that. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of businesses that were affected, and a lot of those businesses have rental payments due to the landlord of that business, and it has a devastating effect. Boy, I'll tell you what, I'm feeling like doom and gloom guy here on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, but I think you should be aware. I think you should, you know, you should really sit down and really scratch your head a little bit and figure out, okay, if I'm going to invest, where do I invest? Did I go on the roller coaster of the stock market? No. Do I get into some of the risky aspects of commercial real estate? No. Do I invest in residential income producing real estate? Now there's a thought. We'll be back right after this.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you've never had the time? This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the Lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. That's LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Wow, you know what? He is spot on. You know, everything that I have done since I've become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited has been focused on getting me retired. And once I achieve that, everything has been focused on living the lifestyle. I just spent a fantastic weekend camping with my daughter and her boyfriend. And, you know, it was relaxing. It was enjoyable. I wasn't worried about money. I wasn't worried about, you know, the hustle and bustle of the job, so to speak. I got to live the lifestyle. And you know what? I get to do that every weekend. It's pretty amazing. I get to do it every evening. It's pretty amazing. See, living the lifestyle has become a part of my lifestyle, and I love it. But what we're talking about today is whether or not all real estate is created equal. And I'm here to tell you, it's not. You know, commercial real estate is a mixture of varying classes. And at Lifestyles Unlimited, we choose the residential class because at the end of the day, everyone needs a place to live. And when you are screening for the correct residence and you find the correct residence, you will find that your investments operate extremely well with very, very little problems, if any at all. But let's take a look at some of these articles I've been reading to you today about some of the other sectors out there, the other classes out there of commercial real estate, and the fact that they're not necessarily doing as well as the residential income producing real estate is doing. This is from Wall Street Journal. The title of the article is Hotel Owner Seeking Mortgage Relief, Not If Wall Street Owns Your Loan. Wow, that's scary. It says just 20% of hotel owners whose loans have been packaged and sold to investors have been able to adjust payments in some form during the pandemic versus, get this, 91% of hotel owners who borrowed from banks, according to a survey by the American Hotel and Lodging Association. Some hotel owners are worried they will lose their properties to foreclosure despite unprecedented stimulus by the federal government to help hard-hit industries weather the pandemic. Yeah, the hotel sector, that's part of commercial real estate. It is. And I'll tell you what, it got beaten down because people weren't traveling. People weren't going anywhere. Did you need temporary lodging? Probably not. Now, there are some industries out there that continue to operate and maybe needed some temporary lodging. But for the most part, these hotels have been shuttered. I mean, there's been nobody in them. We have a friend that came out from the East Coast to do some house hunting, and she's staying in a hotel right now for the duration of her house hunting. She says the place is empty. It's like renting a room but getting the hotel for the price. That was the way she looked at it. Now, here's another article I think is very, very telling. This comes from theasset.com, and it's entitled HSBC Private Banking raises record $1.3 billion in alternative investments. Wow. HSBC Private Banking raised more than $1.3 billion of private client funding for alternative investments in Asia in April 2019 to April 2020 across a broad range of product solutions, including hedge funds, private equity, private credit, and $350 million in a private REIT strategy. Now, what am I recommending to you there? Not really anything, to be honest with you. It just goes to show that money is migrating away from some of the traditional forms of investment that you may have been interested in. Now, I'm not interested in any of those types of assets, and I'm certainly not interested in a REIT, because all a REIT does, it will pay you money after it strips off all of the other forms of income. What we like to say at Lifestyles Unlimited is that real estate should pay you five different ways, six different ways if we're talking multifamily investments. But REITs, they just pay you one different way. They pay you a kind of a dividend check, and they leave a lot of money on the table, or actually in the pockets of those people that put the REITs together. Let's talk a little bit about construction starts, because that's another area you can put your money into. You can actually invest into companies doing construction starts. And Dallas-Fort Worth, well, this is from the Dallas Morning News. The article is entitled, Dallas-Fort Worth Construction Starts Plunged as COVID-19 Spread. The article says this, non-residential building starts plunged by more than 40% from a year ago, according to a new report from Dodge Data and Analytics. Residential building activity was also down 14% year over year in April as the coronavirus shut down the economy. Total building activity in the Dallas-Fort Worth area was 28% lower than in April 2019, according to the Dodge data. I'll tell you what, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I've got more articles I can read you. It's just kind of doom and gloom around the retail sectors and the different classes of retail investing. Or excuse me, did I say retail? I meant real estate. Retail's in the dumps. It really is. It's having a hard time. It's right up there with industrial. It's right up there with warehousing. It's right up there with all these other sectors in real estate that are having a difficult time, because when you shut people down from operating their businesses, then they're not able to go out and earn income so that they can turn around and pay their associated business expenses. And one of those business expenses just happens to be rent. It does. It's one of those things those businesses put on the bottom line. And it's that rent that we require as real estate investors so that we can get the income streams necessary to take care of the principal, the interest, the taxes, the insurance, maybe the maintenance, maybe some other ongoing expenses. Maybe you're in an HOA or something. I don't know. But all of those costs need to be paid for. And you utilize your tenant to provide that money so that you can run your business operation. In residential income producing properties, what I did was I took a look at, you know, because in fairness, we got to compare what's going on. And the multifamily, I don't even, what is this thing? The NMHC, which is the National Multifamily Housing Council's rent tracker for the week of June 1st to June 6th, basically said that 80.8% of apartment households paid rent as of June 6th. That's 80%. That's in comparison to some of these more dismal numbers that I'm reading about in retail, in shopping, in construction, in, you know where I'm going. So 80.8% paid or at least made a partial payment on time. And that is a good thing. And that's based on a survey of 11.5 million units of professionally managed apartment units across the country. That's what their website says. So when you think about it, when we take a look at what our results have been at Lifestyles Unlimited, we're finding our results to be up in the 90s. So what does that mean? It means that investing your money correctly into residential income producing assets, whether it's multifamily housing, whether it's single family housing, either one is an exceptional way for you to grow your wealth and to increase your income because they will pay you passive income in the form of cash flow. You use that passive income, that cash flow, to start paying your ordinary expenses. And it starts as simply as one single residential house or one small apartment community. Either way is a great way to start. And as you continue to operate those properties and they continue to throw off cash flow, you're going to get more properties. And then you're going to get more properties because eventually this thing starts to snowball. It starts with one, but you're not done. You're going to get two, and then you're going to get three. And then next thing you know, you've got yourself maybe 10 single family houses, maybe a 40 unit apartment community, and you're looking at your monthly expenses and you're looking at the cash flow that comes off of these properties and you make an epiphany. My income meets or exceeds my expenses. When that happens, you are effectively retired. You do not have to go back to work unless you choose to do so. See, your residential income producing assets have created a benefit in the form of you being able to retire. And then once you get yourself retired, everything is focused on the lifestyle from there on out. What is it you desire? How do you desire to live? Maybe you desire to go camping with your daughter. Maybe that's something you haven't been able to do for a while and you finally got your schedules all dialed in. And maybe your schedule isn't so busy now that you're retired. You have the ability to go do what you want, when you want, with whom you want, and have a great time doing it. And it's all thanks to successfully and correctly investing in real estate. So my point is this. Not all real estate is created equal. It is not. Make sure you understand what you're getting involved with. Make sure you get a proper education like we offer at Lifestyles Unlimited. And your journey will be a wonderful journey. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. We'll be right back.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.